can take more time. It must not be over 30 minutes from Parliament side. That is, I mean, you know, the EPCs are still on. So let's try our best. But we're not going to blame anyone, because that is an issue that we all are going to do as a God's work, because of those processes, those activities that we had during the morning session. Honourable members, today we are going to deal with the, we are going to deliberate on the revised version on Rendal Housing Amendment Bill. We have been dealing with this bill for quite a long time, and I think now it's overdue. And we have to deliberate today. The state law advisors are with us so that they can take the information. The department is here, and then our parliamentary officer is here, so that next week on Wednesday we adopt the bill. On the following week we debate the bill, so that it has to go to the NCOP. But I must say, there is a representative from the Gauteng Housing Tribunal. I don't want to repeat what I've said to him. I came very strongly upon himself yesterday, because everyone has been given an opportunity by this committee. Nobody can claim that they did not get the opportunity to come before this portfolio committee and present their views. But I don't want to repeat it today, because I've thrown my anger to him. So today I'm not angry. I'm not angry. He is more than welcome. But what I've requested him to do, he must speak, because the issue that he is raising is the issue of appeals. So I requested him to still, because that is the issue all of us. We are stuck with it. At the same time, appeals process is non-negotiable. What is negotiable is the process. That is all. We have agreed to our sessions that we held. Let us discuss amaxesha needs. We have agreed that appeals process is necessary. The problem is the approach. So I requested him to come up with the suggestions of how can we deal with this matter, although we have requested the state law advisors and parliament as well as the department to work around this matter. And then he raised an issue of evictions that he would like to speak to, and I would urge him to summarize it as much as possible. We don't want a long presentation, because other issues that have been, because I've requested the document yesterday, I didn't receive it, but I looked at it now. Some of the issues have been discussed, the issues of written lease agreements, those issues have been discussed, we've passed those issues now. If you can just listen to this issue, the way we are stuck. Mr. Bailey, you are more than welcome in the committee, and just relax, don't panic, and raise the issues that you would like to raise. But you are so limited, you know that. For instance, now it's 20 past. Definitely, I told you, Mr. I'm going to give you 10 minutes time to present, and then 5 minutes to ask quick questions, so that we are able to run through this document, our document. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And you're absolutely right. Yesterday we did have a telephone conversation, and you made very clear your unhappiness around the Gauteng approach to this. So what I really want to do at the outset is just to say to the members of the committee, from Gauteng's point of view, we need this committee desperately to be able to do our work more efficiently in Gauteng. So the fact that we weren't here really could be on the 24th, and we also accept that, in fact, that in a way time has passed. But very simply, I was out of the country in April. Our acting DG has also been ill. The first time we could actually get together and meet was on Wednesday. And that even then followed a visit from the newly appointed Eastern Cape Division of the Rental Housing Tribunal. So we don't mean to be disrespectful. And just following on then from our from the conversation that I had with the chair yesterday, there are two documents that you've been handed, and obviously I'm going to need to be quite limited. And I'm going to start off with the appeal issue, and then just depending on the time, I should just deal with one or two other matters, and I don't intend to breach the arrangement with the chair. I think just our starting point on this appeal issue is that it may be, in fact, a small problem that is, in fact, trying to find a big solution. And that may really be what is causing the present conundrum. If you look at the document that, in fact, doesn't have the Gauteng emblem on it, you'll see, in fact, in the bill, in that proposal, really at page 12, in those comments, and we, in fact, set out why we don't support it. But we could leave that for the moment. Because our position in Gauteng is that we don't object to appeals per se. In fact, it was Gauteng as far back as December 2010 that, in fact, put up a proposal that, in fact, incorporated appeals. So we're not anti-appeals. In fact, there is a place for it. I think what we've really got to ask ourselves is the context for appeals in the current situation appropriate? And so this particular document here sets out what I had to say in December 2010. In fact, this document goes way ahead of where, in fact, even what this committee is considering, because Gauteng is already starting to think around, does it become a separate entity and so on and so forth. We've had to put all of that on hold, and because we understand that we're one province in a unitary state, and perhaps I can say that often Gauteng feels that we're being held back by what, in fact, is going on in the rest of the country. We have particular demands and so on that, in fact, other provinces simply do not meet. But and that aside, so that document really is there to show just to the committee that we're not in principle opposed to appeals. So if one, in fact, looks at the proposal in the and this really then, in fact, deals with my first possible solution to the conundrum around appeal. If you go to page 13 of this particular document, and there, in fact, I set out how, in fact, appeals could work. Now, essentially, what was driving Gauteng back in 2010 was the issues that we had backlogs of 160. We now, in fact, sit on backlogs of 320, 30-odd at the last count. And the Gauteng Rental Housing Tribunal is a seven-day-a-week operation. We sit 5 days a week. We have to rot up over weekends and order, otherwise we simply do not meet the job at hand. And that, I think, is very important to understand where we are coming from. But to the extent that, in fact, this committee wants appeals, option one really appears on page 13 of the proposal that was made as far back as 2010. Now, that was a radical approach, I might add, because what we were saying at that point, instead of having five or three members hearing a case, you would reduce it to one. One member hearing a case. And you would then provide for an appeal procedure that would then go to three members. The moment you're aware, of course, of the current structures and so forth. So at that point, that was quite a radical approach. The best of my understanding is other provinces were a little uncomfortable with it. We in Gauteng at that point were saying, well, this would deal with our backlog and the ever-increasing demand, which from Gauteng's point of view is going to, with the introduction of social housing and so on, is going to get even bigger. So that's just the one proposal that you may want to consider, is that it then deals away with all the cumbersome problems of the composition of the tribunal. In fact, that's part of the conundrum, again, that this committee has, and in a way that the tribunals have, is the structure of the tribunal. If one looks at the process that you've been following over a number of months, it's how do we compose this tribunal. It's already cumbersome. Now you seek to install an appeal procedure, which in a sense will make it more cumbersome. But that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, is option number one. That in fact that I have given some thought to overnight and doesn't appear in this document because I have to get on an aeroplane and get down here. And the other thing that I also want to say is that I am today in fact mandated in talking on behalf of not only the Rental Tribunal but the Gauteng Department of Housing, and we say that those comments in this document simply reflect that the proposition around the options on the appeal is in response to my discussion with Madam Chair yesterday. So that's option number one, scenario number one. Radical, but it's there for you to consider, and quite frankly, it then solves all kinds of problems that you've got around composition and so forth. What is option number two? Option number two is that you can set up an appeal system within the Rental Housing Act. It's a question of how you do it. Now, the one option is that what you do is you simply establish an appeal tribunal within the context of within the Act. So you'd have tribunal members, and then you'd have another section which would say, well, now we're going to set up members of an appeal tribunal, separate members of the... So they wouldn't be members of the tribunal. They would have to be separate, I believe, to ensure that, because you're now still dealing with the problem within the same structure. There is an argument to say that you could probably have members who make up the appeal tribunal who could be members of the tribunal but didn't hear the original case. That can be done. But if you want to certainly separate out and make it more judicially and constitutionally sound, you could set up a separate appeal tribunal, and their job would only be to hear appeals. They wouldn't be hearing any other cases. So that would probably pass constitutional muster. Of course, that means that there are cost implications and all of those things, but that's your option number two to think quite seriously about. Take it back to the state law advisor and say, give us some advice on that. I think it can be done. And then obviously what would happen is that part of the difficulty that we've all got here is that rulings of the tribunal are deemed to be orders of the magistrate's court. The way you then get around that is that you would say that obviously an appeal suspends the result until the appeal is dealt with. So once the appeal tribunal has dealt with it, assuming that an appeal isn't, for example, lodged within, say, the 14 days, no appeal is lodged within 14 days, then that's the ruling. If an appeal is lodged, then obviously the appeal tribunal hears it. Once it's handed down its decision, subject to certain procedures that one would need to set out in regulation, that then becomes the order of the tribunal. So that's that, Madam Chair, would be the way to do it if the committee is insistent on the appeal procedure. So what I'm trying to say to you is in 2010, with the proposal of one member hearing a case and three appeals, we in fact made the proposal. So we're not anti-appeals by any yardstick. There's a great deal of value in them from a lawyer's point of view, because once a high body decides these things, well, that gives you comfort and succor that, that in a sense, in essence, one is right. So, Madam Chair, those are the two proposals. But what I do want to, in fact, ask you to turn to this page is the appeal section in this particular document. And all I would like to do is just to explain to you why, for current purposes, the tribunal in Gauteng takes the view that we believe that the notion of an appeal may be too big a solution for what may be too small a problem. Now, that is not to underestimate a problem as a problem. But at the end of the day, I think we all know that, in fact, that we've always just got to set out to do the greatest good for the greatest number within available resources. And the Constitution makes that very, very clearly under the right of access to housing. The state's got to take the necessary steps to provide housing in accordance with the state's available resources. So let's just unpack it a little. Is that just firstly, if one looks at On page 12, paragraph 35.2, and that's of this document here. The point is this, is that we're the busiest in the Republic, and since 2001 we've received over 13,084 complaints. Of those complaints, only 16% go to a tribunal hearing. Are you with me on page 12 of this document? Page 12. Okay, at paragraph 35.2. All right, I'm going to try and be quick on this. Because what happens is that complaints are lodged, 50% of those get resolved informally over the telephone and through our case management system. So that's 50% of them dealt with straight away. The remaining 50% go to mediation. At mediation, of those 15%, 34% are resolved by agreement between the parties. So the tribunal hearings are only dealing with 16% of complaints. Now, of those 16%, in the region of about 95%, I said over 90%, are resolved by agreement between the parties. Now, you would ask, why is that? And I want to extend an open invitation to the members of the committee. If you're ever up in Johannesburg, please come and visit us. Come and see us at work. What we've developed in Gauteng is a procedure that is unique to the country. It is unique to the continent. And it may even be unique to the world. Why do I say that? Well, we know that that our courts operate within an accusatorial adversarial procedure. And in order to win, you've got to be able to cross-examine, put versions, and all of those things. And we all know, the better the lawyer, the more expensive the lawyer, the more likely, not always, that you are in fact to achieve justice from your perspective. Now, we in our team go beyond justice. We've got to do that, because that's what the law says. But in fact, we also want to look at what's just. And those are two very different concepts. And just means also what is lawful, what's fair, what's right, what's appropriate in the circumstances. How do we do it? Well, we've adopted an inquisitorial procedure, but we do it by way of a conversation with the parties. And it's taken out of an internationally recognized mediation procedure. So from the tribunal, and now we have in the Gauteng, the tribunal sits very much like this. We're sitting up there. But what we're actually doing is we're having a conversation with the parties. And it's almost like a rugby game. So what we're doing is we're coaching the parties in and around to their rights. And it would go something like this. Well, Mr. Landlord, you've locked someone out without an order of court. What does 26.3c of the Constitution say? What does Regulation X say? No one may be locked out without an order of court. Right, Mr. Landlord? Yes. Well, it seems to us you've acted unlawfully, haven't you? And we've got a power to spoliate, that's a power to put them back. Mr. Landlord, our hands are tied, because that's what the law says. And he said, all right, well, I'll put you back. And so then we just get an agreement, which says you've been, that the landlord will reinstate the tenant by 1,200 hours or 1,600 hours today. And so that goes with non-payment of rentals, lack of maintenance. We can just show you. We're writing a lever arch file of rulings a month. Of those, over 95% of them are by consent between the parties. That's a phenomenal statistic, but it comes out of the procedure that we've developed that is absolutely unique. I don't know where else that, in fact, it exists within an adjudicative framework. But that's what we do. And the reason why we do it is because we know that Mrs. Kamalo, who may be 67, cannot read or write, she's kind of got a sense that her rights have been violated, but she doesn't necessarily know how to put it. And that's the role of the tribunal through the conversation. And so because of that, we say that at the end of the day, if you want an appeal procedure from a Gauteng point of view, you're talking about less than 2 or 3% of people who are going to want to go on appeal. And then we're saying that of those 2 or 3%, a lot of them are not going to want to go on appeal. So all we're just simply saying to you is that that's the context, not because we don't, we think an appeal is a bad thing by any odd stick. We don't. We proposed it 2 years ago in a context. All we're saying is that And that the conundrum that you find yourselves in may be too big a solution for what you're trying to resolve. That's all we are saying on the matter. The other thing that we also just simply want to say is this, is that the vast majority of claims are below the small claims court.
Yes. You have held a mouthful on the issue of appeals.
Yes.
Can you get to the other
part of the matter? Okay. Yes, and also all we want to just say is that there will be additional costs, all of those and those issues. We think there will be delays. We even think that it may have a negative effect, but fine. Right, okay. So that then just simply deals with the appeals. I'm not simply just moving into one or two of the other points that I want to make. I think that, and you may well in fact have stumbled on your answer if you don't go with the appeal issue. You talk about training of tribunal members. Is that if in fact what we need to perhaps do is to talk about our procedure to make sure that people are properly trained, and that's in your proposed amendment about National Department providing funds, and we just simply say in our document, I'm just going to alert you to them because of time, is that establish a dedicated fund to market and train National Department, and that's in the procedures, and we think that by tightening up the procedures in the way you want to do things, you can get to just results. And so we say, yes, if you're going to train, then you've got to have a dedicated fund to train and market tribunals. The same goes with establishment of information offices. We have had battle upon battle with municipalities to establish. So certainly now that they're going to have to establish, we've got to give them assistance in terms of what your requirements of us are going to be. We think there should be dedicated funds in that regard. Just one quick thing around exit inspections. We just make the point, don't do it within 3 days. Do it at the end once the goods have been moved out. Because we have a lot of disputes we deal with where it's done 3 days before, and then the landlord moves and he says, well, I discovered these problems afterwards. So we just say it happens when tenants should move out, and we just put those proposed in bold in paragraph 10. The issue around the lease, reducing the lease to writing. This is a big one for us. You're able to, all right. It's in. Okay. Fine. All we just want to point is it may have, for people who can't read and write, we think that there are problems on that, particularly in terms of backyard. That's fine. Obviously, I want to stick to it. We've made some other issues and proposals that are in there on compositions and so on. Then the other thing that issue on, and this for us is a big one, and I just did discuss it with the chair yesterday, was the referral of evictions to competent courts. I've already said to you today, we don't think that needs to happen, because once we put them back, that's the end of the matter, by and large. And the other thing is, once we start referring to competent courts, then we've got to say, well, who refers it, who's going to be represented? We've dealt with the matter. The door's closed on that. They don't go anywhere. We just say it's not necessary. We also request that we be given the power to make damages awards. So whenever there's an electricity cut off and there's damages to food and those sort of things, and we're already doing it, we make damages awards, but we think it needs to be put in the Act to say we're empowered to make damages awards where people have suffered a loss out of their lease agreement, and we make that proposal. The issue on the regulations, Madam Chair, I didn't mention that in our discussion yesterday, but we think the Minister must make those regulations. Because you've taken the power away from the MEC, if the Minister elects under the word may not to do it, provinces are going to be settled where they're not going to have regulations, they can't function. We've got to have regulations, and that, in our view, is a must.
That one has been addressed.
Okay. And the other issue that we want to propose is that we think under the appointment of tribunal members there should be interviews, and that should be incorporated in. The other issue is the CPA. And I want to just talk for 2 minutes on this because this is a big one, is that the legal fraternity themselves cannot agree whether or not the CPA applies. And we think this is an opportunity for Parliament to simply apply its mind and give us an answer on this. And the two biggest law firms in Johannesburg are taking two differing views on this. We know the CPA is all-encompassing, but we also know that the counter-argument is that where you've got specialist legislation, the specialist legislation applies over and above the legislation of general application. So our view in Gauteng has been is that the Housing Act overrides the CPA. But we think that there really needs to be given some thought to that. And I'll tell you why, is because there are now two sets of rules for two different parties. Pam Golding, for example, are now giving tenants 20 days, saying you've got to give us 20 days notice to vacate. The entire history of rental housing is 1 month's notice, 2 months' notice. We're working calendar months. So there are those kind of issues. We believe that Parliament has set up the tribunals, and we would like some clarification from you in that regard. Otherwise, we think at some point we're going to have to go to court to get the clarity on that. Then the final thing, and not to abuse the chairperson's indulgence, and this really is the last point, and this really just runs, Madam Chair, to terms of members. Now, I spoke at length about that in December. I'm under here on a mandate, and we've made a proposal that we believe is a compromise to this issue around terms, and we set that out under paragraph 19. And what we say is bring us into line with the Competition Tribunal. Bring us into line with the Consumer Tribunal. Really, they're the terms of 5 years. They're specialist tribunals. We're specialist tribunals. This is the view of the department. And what we then say is we've amended. We've taken the section from the Competition Act. And the proposal we're making there is that any chairperson can't serve more than two terms as a chairperson. Okay, that's the rule under the Competition Act, and that, to the best of my knowledge, is also the ruling with the Consumer Tribunal. So a chairperson never gets more than two terms. The next thing we say is that members obviously can be reappointed. That is the case with the Competition Tribunal as well. And then the view is that a chairperson, once they've had their two terms, and that can be reappointed as a member or an alternate member, but certainly not as a chairperson. The whole idea behind that is that you don't want people and chairs chairing indefinitely. And the reason for that very simply is that 2 years also is considered to be too, and 3 years is too short. You've got an operation for 2 years, and then you've got to start re-advertising again, and that takes time in terms of the procedures that it's got to follow. The other thing is just to alert you. This is my last topic. It runs to say that your 18-month clause. You've asked a question and you've been now faced with a bigger problem. It will have unintended consequences. What it will mean is that once the chair has served two terms, the reality initially is that your future chairs will only ever be able to serve one term under the present under the present amendment. There are unintended consequences that. That will come out. So we're simply saying that this is the view of the Gauteng department. It's not Trevor Bailey sitting here as a chair trying to get a few extra terms. That's the view of the position. And so we think that that's the compromise from, and it deals with skills. I set it all up there. Madam Chair, thank you very much. I'm going to stop. I don't want to overdo the indulgence.
Oh, stop. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Bailey. I think you have raised quite an interesting issue on the CPA. I don't think we have looked at that one, so you have made a contribution to this committee. We are going to look at it as a committee. But I will give the member to get some clarity. Question, CPA segment, the Consumer Protection Act. Honourable
Kholaba? Yeah, Chair, you condensed your anger and everything, and you didn't give us an opportunity to condense our anger as well. Because I feel very frustrated that, you know, Mr. Bailey, you just come here at the tail end of the process, and you've got very salient issues that you could have raised when you're going through this thing. Now it's you are compounding the problem. You know, you're not making life easy for us because of what you're saying we could have taken on board, but you are coming at a tail end. And believe you me, Gauteng is the biggest province. You are dealing with these issues. We should have got some form of, you know, information from you prior to this thing. Because of what we want to avoid is to make a legislation for the sake of it. We want to make it as practical as possible. Because of it goes out of these walls and it must be applicable to you guys. You know, we have to make life easy for you too. And you are coming at the tail end. There are some issues that you are raising that we've dealt with, you know, but it could have been more prudent to get a practical view You know, that's the premise of I don't understand why were you not part of the process. Frankly, I don't understand. You know, you should, these comments, you should have made them long time ago. Didn't you see this, the government gazette, where you could have made your inputs and everything? I feel that you are robbing the system. You're doing injustice to the system, because one would have loved to hear, you're making salient points, but you are coming at the tail end of it. Especially this issue of saying, I want to understand, why do you say we meet in the appeal, we make one person to be the tribunal and three people to be the one who are dealing with the appeal? What is the logic that we are having here? And the interview of the rental tribunal, why do you say that the tribunals have to be interviewed? And you are also talking about what we can say, unfunded mandate. What is the logic of making that? But in terms of the appeal, and you are saying again that most in Gauteng, it looks as if it's going well, because you've got 95% of your cases that are on consent that are not going towards a review. So in essence, you are saying to us that because you are doing it well in Gauteng, you don't need an appeal nationwide. And again, because of the cases can be going for review, again, you don't need an appeal. Is that the point that you are making? And I mean, in some other areas, it's not as glossy as it seems. So we got to make provision for the other areas. Lastly, again, you are saying, because you've said so much in quite a little bit of time, and one was wanting to grasp what you are saying. That's why I'm saying you're doing injustice to the whole process. All right, let me leave it at that and just allow other members just to make inputs there. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, yes, I'm not going to repeat the anger, but I don't think this is too far off, you know, where we're at in the bar, quite frankly. But I want to just ask you, in this appeals thing, my point here would be, you know, we've also looked at the fact that the appeals mechanism would include people from, you know, who hadn't originally heard the case. So I'm not seeing it as being that different. And I mean, today we're going to look at how, you know, we've possibly come up with a solution there. So I think that the only other thing here that I think is valid, and I'm not sure if we've covered it, that's the dedicated funds for the training and marketing. Because, you know, when we traveled overseas too, it stuck out so much for us that, you know, over there people are educated in these things. And I think that's critical. So perhaps we need to just have a look at that and see if we are covered sufficiently in that. But I think for the rest, I think we really have done a lot of work on this now. I'm assuming that you have looked at all the new amendments that have gone in presenting this.
Right. Okay, if I can just deal with the gentleman and the process got in the way of us making those the comments. I apologise again. I apologise because we want to work with you. In fact, it has been Gauteng that in fact started this process on pushing for the amendments. So we haven't been meant to be disrespectful, but to the extent that we've inconvenienced you, mea culpa. We're sorry. Then perhaps just then dealing with some of the issues. In fact, your first point, I can't even read my own handwriting. You want to just I've got a word here, but now I can't. It's not. But well, let's just deal with the ones that I can certainly. I think on the interview issues, that the Act doesn't provide for interviews. And we just simply saying the practice has always been to have interviews. We think that that makes for more transparent and informed decision making. We're saying that you can be great on paper, But during the interview, you know, maybe someone else wrote up that CV. Anyway, that's all we're just saying. We think more informed, greater transparency. Let's then just go back to the appeal issue. Is that where, and it's, the question is, well, where's the one coming from? Most matters of the tribunal are less than the small claims court. All right, the small claims court has one person sitting hearing the case. All right, and you can only review in the High Court. That's what the small claims court has to say. The CCMA has one commissioner hearing a case. You go and review to the Labour Court. So what we're also saying is that we need to have a context of what we're about. Now, what we're about, if you look at the legislation, is quick, expeditious justice. I mean, our experience in Gauteng is once the lawyers start coming in, they look used to the way we do things. Then they get used to it and they say, this is just the greatest system. So what we're saying is that even if necessarily other, again, I can't talk for other provinces. What I can say is that obviously over the years we've had all the provinces have come through and have observed the way we've done things. I must say, I've always just had a sense of men and women who want to do the right thing. And so I know yesterday in our conversation with Madam Cheers that she gave me some anecdotal cases of things that certainly surprised me. I mean, the reality is that when the Gauteng Tribunal started, we were the landlords and the Property Owners Association were not partial towards us. They, in fact, said this is just pro-tenant, etc., etc. And, you know, over time we've built up respect. And what I'm saying is that if on the one person, and this is just a proposal because I undertook to give one today, and I'm saying that there's an example of how you do it. If you want to keep it short, simple, quick, expeditious, and all of those sort of things, small claims court an example, CCMA an example. And if one goes back to the Hansard readings when the Labour Relations Act was being set up, one of the things that we knew under the old Labour Relations Act, which we know was apartheid legislation, is it was too cumbersome and it was too long. And one of the things that the discussions in the papers and the debates in Parliament at that time is we're going to set up this body that's going to get you in there quickly, and there may be one or two things that may slip through the net, but at the end of the day, you're going to do the greatest good for the greatest number. And that's why it's and then it goes to review. So what I'm saying to you is that's the reasoning behind the one. And if you want, and that's a proposal, that you have the one person hearing it, then there's still within that an appeal within the tribunal itself. And then that way you now get, because one of the problems you've got at the moment on your appeal is that normally how it goes when you go on appeal, it's normally before one magistrate, then on review before three judges, on appeal before five in the Supreme Court of Appeal, and then if you get to the Constitutional Court, you go to nine. The problem with the current proposal is that you're going from three down to one. And that just runs against the general. And the whole idea behind appeals is now you're going to have two or three minds weighing up an issue. So all I'm saying to you is that that was a proposal we made as far back as 2010. And certainly I think throwing out of that debate on the 10th of December 2010, there'd been a meeting the day before, I didn't know about it at the time, on the 9th, where in fact the 3-3 was actually discussed. At that point, Gauteng said, well, from our point of view, we can survive with the 3-3 because we can increase our output by 100%. So that's why we don't have a problem with the 3. And we've actually already worked out if we get the 3-3 in within about a period of 4 months, we think we can deal with the backlog and then with the extra stuff coming in. So another big issue in Johannesburg is students who are being abused by, particularly around the University of Johannesburg. The stories are now emanating that poor students are being treated abominably. We want to go and then we're going to market and we need to go to the University of Johannesburg. Anyway, sorry. So what I'm saying to you is that the numbers, for the numbers, yeah, sorry. Okay, I apologise, Madam Chair. So that really just deals with where we're coming through the proposal on the one. So I think I've then dealt with your issue on the appeal, Ms. Borman, as well. Dedicated funds. Well, we've just made that proposal. We think if it's there, then it's got to be used for that, so it doesn't get lost. And I think what it really runs to, it seems to me, is if there are issues elsewhere, we can start to solve that through through the use of these training programs to really reduce what's
going on. You are repeating yourself. And one thing that is important, Parliament is off now, and the members, they will leave one by one. One thing that is important, it's good to make an example about health day. But when the Honorable Mkhalapa raised a critical question, this act is not about a particular province. It has got to manage even a poor person on the village, because villages are having rental stock. So we understand your passion about the province, but we are going to look at the issues as they are raised. As I'm saying, there's quite a lot of issues that we have raised that are important, and we are going to look at them and consider them together with the department, as the state law advisor, as well as the parliamentary legal unit. So otherwise, for now, there's nothing that we can take a decision on. We have listened to you, and we appreciate your presentation, and I think yourself you have to appreciate this committee, because we have been so generous to you. So we wish to say thank you very much, sir.
Madam Chair, you could have said no. You said yes. We thank you for that. We apologise again, and I think from a Gauteng point of view, from members of the committee who are in Johannesburg or who live there, arrive unannounced, or you can let us know you're in the area, and we can then give you a more generous welcome. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your indulgence.
I think we need to agree on something, that we listen to the presentation of the state law as well as parliamentary legal unit, but definitely we are not going to make it, because I'm sure you have booked your flight. And whether you are, I'm not sure, Uthi, are you prepared to stay for how long? Going to suggest that let's listen to what the legal unit that we have requested them, the homework that we have requested them to do for us, and then I don't think we can deliberate. I don't think we will do justice on I'm referring to the deliberation part of it. Maybe we can deliberate on Wednesday next week, and then try to adopt it on Thursday in the evening. We'll see what's going to happen. But let's make sure that we adopt this legislation next week. Yeah.
Yeah, Chairperson, I want to suggest that since it's in the register, it still has some work to be done. If you may request that, I don't know what the program is for next Wednesday, but if the debate is coming the following Wednesday and you have to pass this legislation next Wednesday, I would then suggest that we ask you to have days on Wednesday. If you finish before the end of the day, that's fine, but not to have too limited a time for next Wednesday.
Okay, ma'am, what we can do, we can request Parliament, because this is a provisional date, so we can request maybe the other week, the following week. Yes. Yes. But it's a provisional date. Yes.
Yes, Chair, I think that would be the better way to go, and I'm saying this because on this committee there are people who serve on other portfolios who will be involved in EPCs. So it would be better, yes, to, because otherwise we're going to have gaps in membership here. And I don't think we want that, you know, with it being such an important stage now of this amendment.
Chair, I would also want to add, you know, most of the time history taught us that when we rush these bills, they always going to come back to us. So let's make sure that before we send it out, we are sure that we've accommodated, even though people have got another chance at the NCOP level. But from NA side, it's always the normal principle. You rush, you crash.
Unfortunately, the experience of this committee, we don't rush, we don't crash. We have never crashed in this committee ever since we said we've got two bills that were passed. Yes. So, we'll never crash. Make it sure that we do things right. Even in the NCOP, there's less work to do when we have dealt with the legislation in the NA.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to start with received now three extra submissions. Maybe just to quickly take the committee through the comments and indicate where we can or what we can't do. The first one was from the South African Housing Regulatory Authority in Maine. Apologies. They ask for two aspects. The one is talking about clearer a distinction of the obligations of the state in respect of social housing. And the second aspect deals with appeals. In respect of stronger provision for stronger regulation of social housing, if I can refer you to the amendment bill, what we have done, they made a proposal, I just want to get the correct page, on page 19 of that document, that what I've asked is that increases in rental amounts as well as deposits should be regulated. Page 19 of the Rental Housing Amendment Bill document. They've made a proposal for that there must be regulations in that regard. If the committee agrees that that is something that can be done, the proposal is set out there as subparagraph F capital B. You say that on page 19, it should be in red. I don't know if you've got it in color. The calculation, so it will start off with the act saying the minister may make regulations relating to, and then it goes, the calculation method for escalation of rental amounts and the maximum rate of deposits in rental housing options provided by social housing institutions or other delivery agents and funded by public funds as contemplated in the Social Housing Act. Now, the Social Housing Act makes provision for these two types of provision, the delivery agents and the housing institutions. So if the committee feels comfortable with that, this will empower the minister to make specific regulations relating to rents and deposits for social housing only. We already have the norms and standards, and it could deal with this aspect. So I do not think that is necessarily something that must be put in, but it also wouldn't harm to put something in like that. So that is on the proposals of the South African Housing Regulatory Authority. On the appeal, I would ask your indulgence that we first deal with the general amendments, the easier stuff, and then go to the appeals later. The second submission that we received is from the Rights Empowerment, Ms. Simone. Now, the main aspects of the submission made, I haven't summarized it. I don't know if Kulisa handed out the facts that we received, was, first of all, that the tribunals do not take into account all circumstances. They simply go on the contract, and that is that. So they are not, in other words, that they are not really just and fair in the application and when they are considering a complaint. The problem that I have with putting this into a bill is that this is actually an oversight aspect. This is something where the committee can say to the department, we are receiving complaints that this tribunal is not just in what they are doing. They're not applying the law. I think there was another comment as well where certain acts aren't being applied by the tribunals, which I also said, this is something for oversight. They can do it already. There's nothing for us to change in this bill. It is simply that the tribunals must then start doing this. So this is more an oversight aspect that this committee can look at. The second comment made by Ms. Simone was that evictions should be possible in the tribunal. The problem with this is that that is a constitutional amendment. It's not something that we can do in this bill, because our constitution in section 26 provides that it must be an order of court that evicts, and our tribunals do not have the status of a court. So we cannot affect that. In respect of these proposals made by Gauteng, I think, again, the proposals on appeal, we will consider when we deal with appeals. On the other aspects, I think the committee will have to give us some guidance. We can look at power to give a damages award. I'm sure that we can draft something to include. In respect of interviews for appointments, I'm sure that we can draft something in that regard. Consumer Protection Act, whether this act is actually applied, whether to conflict, we can draft something like that. The terms of members, the serving of the 5 years, we can draft something like that. The dedicated funds for training, I know that we've already said in the Act that the department, the national department, is responsible for training. That means that there will be a line item in their budget. So there will have to be some sort of provision. A fund becomes a little bit problematic when you're looking at national departments or provincial departments, because we have the PFMA, which prescribes that all monies received or all monies held must be held by Treasury, and you're only allowed as a department to hold monies if it is specifically like in a grant. So it can be called fund, but it will still be part of the NTF cycle. So I'm not sure that if we want to specifically create something called a fund, or if we simply say it is sufficient that it is part of the NTF cycle, it is a line item. So, but again, like I say, on all of those aspects, if the committee can give us some guidance, we should be able to cover most of those things. Then, if I can take you through the bill's document.
Wait. I think on the issue of SRA, it is requested that there has to be definition of state-funded rental housing projects, and they included a rental or housing co-op. I think we need to comment on this one, because I've read this and I've communicated that we would submit to say we don't have to create a problem here, because currently we do have the SRA legislation, and it talks to the issue of cooperatives, of which those cooperatives, as this committee, we have raised a concern to say they are not well placed in SRA, because we all know SRA deals with rental, it has got to do with business, and housing co-ops has to do with ownership. So we needed, as you are aware, that we are busy with the dedicated legislation that is going to speak to the housing cooperatives. So let's not deal with this one, because it is already there, accommodated in that act. What we can do, because we know that there's quite a lot of for instance, the issue of CRU, we know that it is a contested terrain amongst the provinces, this CRU program. So until such time the department comes up with a proper plan. In fact, we said we require a national comprehensive rental plan from the department. So it's just bits and pieces. So we cannot allow ourselves to get into that. What we can do, all the policies and so on that are going to be developed, at least they must, because we're making an overall now legislation. So, Mr. Honorable
Chair, I want to agree with you. I think SRA cannot you know, shy away from its mandate and want us to regulate so that we make their job easier. I think that is unacceptable. We can't go with that one. The cooperatives, they must make them work. We cannot legislate it. I mean, we can't legislate them. Still, I agree with you on that one. They must do their job. They can't want us to make it life easy for them.
Yes, I don't have a problem with that, but I just want to get back to that special fund thing for the training and marketing. I think if that is a line function and it's there, I think then it's up to us actually to oversee that and to make sure that that happens. And I think that's fine, because with, you know, if we start creating other things again, you know, it's more stuff where funny things can start happening. So let's rather have it where, you know, we've got oversight over that in our regular interactions with the department on a quarterly basis, actually.
We've got an opportunity with the BRR where we can filter in this fund. But to create a new separate thing, I think it's a no-go. Let's work it through our MTEF.
Just to add, as we are saying, the department has got a program. They've got a program of what you call your problem, that separate program for training, provide training and so on. You have got that program. That program has to create a line function for training and so on and so on. It was reported here that they've got that training program. So we're not going to create a fund. That is, the National Treasury will never agree on that one.
Thank you, Chair. I've just discussed something with the State Law Advisor, and we have a proposal, given that we have a little bit of a time constraint. Some of the amendments that we've made are simply either as a result of what was discussed last week, or it's simply a drafting technicality. And we propose that perhaps we leave those general amendments to be discussed when there's actual deliberation, and then we can proceed to the appeal process. Is that acceptable? Good. I've handed out a separate document. Now, I must just say, whichever way the committee decides to go, I think there will have to be additional drafting done. we'll have to just do a final edit of the Act as well, and make sure that whatever we propose for the appeal is in fact reflected right through the Act, so that there's nothing else that speaks against it. So there might maybe be slight additional changes depending on which way the committee wants to go. Now, there was a proposal made by the Gauteng Tribunal that instead of having our committees of three, that we perhaps have one person. The only aspect that I'm not sure of how that will be dealt with is that we have said that every three members of them, one must have a legal experience, one in-house, you know. So I'm not sure how that will be dealt with if we go that route, but that is definitely a possibility. Also, I mean, the rationale for the two committees is to allow for more work to be done. So if you bring the membership down to perhaps, say, two members or something like that, you might even find that it's more capable. So it is a possible proposal, something that the committee can consider. We can look at that, and we'll just have to think how to maybe set the qualifications for the person then.
Yeah, I still reiterate my point. We should be careful that this is a national. We're legislating nationally. So let's not go into this don't touch on my studio thing. Because if you remember the Western Cape, they said make it seven. Yeah. Don't make it two because we're incapacitated. So you're going to have those dilemmas if you do it that way. Let's stick it to where it's practically possible. And the issue of, because of you're going to end up having appeals that are, you know, more effective than the tribunal itself. So you've got, you know, unintended consequences. So make it seven, so that you can spread across the issue, because of the other thing is the issue of the relevant expertise. Now, if you make it one, then in Gauteng you can afford to have one attorney who can deal with that and have two other, you know, experts. But in some provinces, you're going to have one person who's the master of all.
Okay.
and how do you manage that one? So let's not go into the don't touch us in my studio syndrome, because it's going to give us a problem.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think also to add to that point was just if appeals are that few, then you might even sit with an appeal portion within the tribunal that has nothing to do. So that is another. The second proposal of the appeal tribunal, to some extent, adds to the proposal that I will put before this committee. Now, the state law advisor will put her proposal before this committee. We both have criticism against each other's proposals. So we will put it up before the committee, and we will ask you, please, you will have to make the decision. In respect of, and I've handed out a document that I explained to you what would deal with appeals. I'm first just going to explain the proposal. We have from the department that they are looking at a body that will deal with appeals. If you remember, when we put up the slides and we had a couple of proposals, the ideal solution was an external body that will work nationally in respect of all appeals that might come from tribunals. And the department said, please don't put this as the solution yet, because we're doing research, we're trying to find the best practice globally, etc. Now, my proposal is that we say to the department, this is where you're headed, we're putting it in the Act. We're telling you that as part of the minister's functions or part of the minister's obligations is setting up such an authority. You need to set up a rental housing appeals authority. Make it perhaps broad so that you do give the department some leeway in how they set it up. It doesn't have to necessarily be a single body. It can be part of a body that deals with rental housing issues in general. They can still decide how that will be done. And, of course, that from the state law advisor, actually I got the valuable comment that if the committee decides to go with this proposal, that we must actually make it very clear that that authority must be some kind of a public entity or some organization that is actually registered and can be controlled. So the first proposal is that we say to the department, you need to set up a rental housing appeals authority. Then, in the interim, until that body is actually set up, we change the structure of the tribunal very slightly. We currently have a chairperson, a deputy chairperson, and two committees. What I propose we change is that we don't just have one deputy chairperson. We have two deputy chairpersons. So if every committee will be chaired by a deputy chairperson. You will still have a chairperson, but your chairperson will not sit as part of the meetings of the committees. So the chairperson will remove himself from the hearings, and he will only be responsible to deal with appeals. Now, you do have the little bit of a conundrum that you have three people and that the chairperson will be the one, will be one person looking at three people's decision. But if you also change the qualifications for the chairperson to say that it must be a person that has legal qualifications and experience as well as housing experience, your chairperson in the appeal will not necessarily be looking at specific issues. The chairperson on the appeal will be looking at it from a very legal point of view, because that is actually what an appeal is. It is looking at the papers before you and making a decision. So I think in that way we can justify that it is one person dealing with this, especially since it is an interim measure. It is something where we're going towards. And for me, there is precedence in the sense of corporate governance principles, where your chairperson, as sitting in a board, can indicate to the board, you're going in the wrong direction. This is not the direction that we are going, and then make a decision. Or where there's a tie, where there's a you have 4-4 votes for a certain issue, the chairperson can give a casting vote, despite the fact that there's eight people before him, or four voting for the one, four for the other. So I think that there is precedent for this. I have discussed with colleagues in my office, and none of us can find something in law that would prohibit this setup. So all that we have to do is we'll have to show that there's an interim period where the chairperson will not be a part, because that's very important. He needs to be impartial when he does the appeal. Yes, he is part of the tribunal, so you do have maybe an argument that he will not be impartial. But I don't think in practice that will really be the case, because his decision will be subject to review. And if he's not impartial, it will be set aside on review. So he will have something that guards and says, this is not the way for you to go. Also, I would propose that we maybe change the word that we are referring to administrative appeal rather than appeal, simply to say that we are actually separating this from your judicial process. This is not an appeal in the sense of a judicial process. And I found an example for this in the European Union, where if you apply for documents and the committee that sits on those documents and decide whether you're allowed to have it or not says, no, you're not allowed to have it, you can do an administrative appeal to the manager of the unit, where that manager will then make a decision whether the consideration of your request for documents was actually correctly handled or not. So I thought with that as an example, it is definitely something that we can look at for the interim until the department has in fact set up this body. Also, if this body is in the Act and this is the ideal for us to work in towards, it becomes part of oversight. And this committee can then ask the department, how far are you with this tribunal? Maybe the MEC as appeal function, we have confirmed with the department that the MEC does, or rather the department, the provincial departments, do act as landlord. And in my opinion, the MEC as the head of the provincial department can then not sit as an appeal mechanism in respect of rental housing issues, not even where the MEC is not involved, in other words, with private rentals, simply because any decision that the MEC makes might be made to favour him in future. So I would definitely say that there is risk for buyers. Whereas in your tribunal, your chairperson, the only aspect that the chairperson might want to protect is his tribunal. But with all due respect, surely he would want to protect his tribunal as being reflected as a tribunal that gives fair and just decisions. And therefore, I think that the chairperson will in all likelihood not be biased when he sits in an appeal, and he would give due consideration. That is my proposal. I will give to the state law advisor for her criticism on the proposal that I'm making, as well as for her proposal.
Before you take the head on board, I want to hear from the department, because you are putting us in a predicament now. If you are still going to make a research, it's not taking us, it's not doing us justice. But hey, whilst you are there, you remember in our last meeting last year, we have requested that the department, together with the legal unit, the state, they must look at the ombuds, because ombuds service has got a conciliation process, if you remember. And I wanted you to check what is the link, because where does the rental, is the rental located? Is it not there in the ombuds service? What areas are going to be addressed by the ombuds? Because now we have to go back now. And we requested you to do that homework. And the first session, the listeners, you never came back to us and said you have looked at the ombuds act. Because there's a range of areas that has to be addressed there. There's communal, there's what, that's not titled, and so on and so on. So if we can look at it, maybe we can set up something like that even here in this tribunal. Because the dispute is around these appeals, that's all. And if it means we leave you, all of you, we get an external advice, we will do that. Because we won't pass this legislation because we're going to have a dispute. This is a dispute. This is a dispute. So if it means
these three bodies are not assisting us, you don't come to a consensus, it's going to give us a problem. But I want to hear from the department itself.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the research on the appeal issue, I don't have information about that one. I don't know who promised on that one. But then with regards to the CSOS, you will remember that the CSOS deals with the protection on ownership, owners who are owning sectional titles and community schemes. And then now rentals deals with only people who are renting. So the two mandates are not the same. So that could be a little bit of a problem.
What we have said, can't you look at that system and then we apply it here? That's what we requested you to do, to look at that system. We know that those are two different bodies and they've got different mandates. But the system, the procedures, because as this committee, we were prominent to say we need this structure. So you have not assisted us.
Chairperson, we're struggling now towards the end of this bill. And I find it quite unacceptable. The department has sat in on every single one of our deliberations here and trying, and this has been sort of one area that we haven't easily been able to come to a conclusion. I don't know what they're doing when they come and sit here and then go away, you know. What are they going to do? What do they do? Do they just go and come? I'm not sure. We actually need something. We need to be also guided by them.
What amazing is the ombuds have got the same status with the tribunals. They have got the same status, and we managed to insert a conciliation process and so on and so on. So we wanted to check out if we go about that. But we're not saying we're going to take it. We said bring all the options. But if you're not assisting us, really, you are giving us tough time because the department has to lead. I know Kwezi is not the better messenger.
Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that the conciliation process that is in the CSOS is more or less the same as mediation. So
we are the people, unless it's your interpretation. We dealt away with the issue of mediation. We said we want a conciliation where if the complainant is not happy about the decision that has been taken by the ombuds, and then there has to be an appointment of we said there should be appointment of conciliators. So that matter is taken for conciliation. We even said in other areas they cannot be appointed. They can just be contracted on a specific, you can remind me, we were part of this process. But it's not mediation. It's totally different from mediation.
Can I respond, Jay? Well, the problem is that I don't have the act with me, but then maybe I can share it with my colleagues. But then the process starts with the conciliation, which is mediation. And then from there, then it goes to adjudication. Well, let me say then, it starts with conciliation. And then from there, then it will go for adjudication. And then in the act, I checked before I came, it's just that I yes. Yes, from outside. Mm. And then from there, then the decision of the adjudicators then can be reviewed by the High Court.
We requested them. You were here, Mom. We requested them. They should have assisted state law advisors and parliament. Because we can change the appeals and then the adjudication. It can depend. But we are not going to pass this until such time.
I must say, really, this is a very difficult subject. We've been struggling to come up with a solution that is acceptable to the committee and which is also workable for the purposes of implementation. Initially, the draft that we had that was forwarded for the next bite of hearing, we provided for appeals, whereby the MEC was going to be the one who's going to deal with the appeals. And then there was a concern which was raised by Western Cape and others that the MEC will not be objective when dealing with the appeals because he's owning the rental housing stock. I received information from the department and they've confirmed that the provinces, the municipalities, the Gauteng, Western Cape province, they do own those rental houses stock. But from my side, my interpretation of that was to say, yes, even if the MEC, if he's owning that stock, is not owning in his or her personal capacity. I was making an example of the Department of Public Works. Public Works, they are owning a lot of buildings which they are leasing out to the state and other institutions. So the issue that I wanted to clarify regarding to that was to say, because the MEC in his official capacity is owning that, there is not direct interest. It doesn't have an interest, so I don't see why there will be prejudice, why you will be biased, because there's no link between him and there's no personal link in his personal capacity. So that was my response to that issue. And actually, I'm not even married to this issue of the MEC. I'm open to any proposal that may be put on table, and I've listened to the presentation by the Gauteng Tribunal. The proposal has got two options. On option one, I've come across that in a legislation, that arrangement, whereby there is a tribunal. Like, for instance, I'm going to quote, it's in the NCA, National Credit Act, in the regulation. That's what I was going to present and could see if the committee will accept that as one of the options. On that one, there is a single member of the tribunal who's listening, who's dealing with the complaint. And thereafter, the chairperson, he appoints, is given a mandate to appoint an appeal panel, which is consisting of three members of the tribunal. And then that panel is dealing with it as an appeals body. And then the very same appeal is subject to review. It's an administrative appeal. So that thing is possible, it can be done. But what we need to double check as the committee is whether the one person member who's dealing with the complaint, is that going to work for the purpose of the rental housing tribunals? It might work for the National Credit Act for the consumers, but is it going to be workable? Is it going to be implementable for the purposes of the rental housing? That's an option that may be considered. If it's workable, then we can work along that. On the second issue, that he raised on the appeal tribunal, is something that we discussed earlier, to say maybe the department will come up with, they are still doing the research, and maybe in time Parliament will legislate and create a body, an appeals board that will deal with the appeals. That is something that is going to happen in the long run. But I want to comment on the issue when you are saying maybe we can utilize the members of the appeal, whereby they don't sit in the hearing, and then those members will deal with the appeals. I think we need to, from my office, we're going to come up with an opinion on that to see whether that can be workable. Because my concern regarding that is there will still be conflict. Because we need a tribunal outside. We need a body outside the tribunal
not within, someone is going to be independent. So left to consider, those are the options that we need to consider. Regarding the presentation from my colleague, Charmaine, I'm having a problem is regarding the chairperson being one person dealing with the appeal. I'm saying that the chairperson will not be objective enough. It's the same as the example that the member of the tribunal was making. You go to one magistrate, you appeal to three members, or even go to the constitutional court is more than one member. So I'm having a problem regarding that. I don't think the chairperson will be objective enough. So that's something that we can still consider, and when we come back during the deliberation, we come up with a solution that is going to be workable.
Well, how do you view this issue of the setup, like the one that we have done? Because for me, this body that is proposed suggested by the department is still going to come up with financial implications. So what are you thinking about? Because definitely there's money that is set aside for legal issues within the department itself, even by the MEC. He has got that fund. So in terms of this adjudication process, how do you think? Because it's one of the issues that we have raised, that it has to be considered to get an independent. We need an independent body here, an independent person. We can't play around, change. What is the purpose of creating or establishing a housing tribunal? And it's going to be an appeal body again. I don't think that one are going to buy. We need an independent person, the person who is not part of this structure. So, what is your take on that one, Mungi?
I also omitted to comment on the issue which is being proposed of the department or the minister creating this Rendal Housing Appeals Authority. I don't think it is within the minister's domain. You know, they don't make laws. It's parliament who must create that body, and that body will be the statutory body which is accountable to parliament and accountable to the public. So my take on that, I wouldn't put it in the legislation. You know, in legislation, you don't legislate. Parliament doesn't legislate for uncertainties. You don't even know that it will be created. So you cannot legislate for something that is not here. You know, it's not even in existence. It's something that might happen or might not happen. So I would oppose the...
And there's been a cry from the National Treasury about these agencies. There has been a cry. Respond to my question on the adjudication process.
The ombuds.
How about if we can have the same system where the person is not satisfied with the decision that has been taken by the ombudsman? So I'm relating to the decision that has been taken by before it's going to the court. What do you think about that one?
I think chairperson is gonna be a very long process. Remember, it's gonna be dealt with by the tribunal, and thereafter it goes to ombud, and then it goes what? Something that we can work on, we can consider if it should be possible for the purposes of the rental housing.
Susan, can I understand? Are we perhaps saying that what we can do is you will have a tribunal decision, and then the MEC will perhaps appoint two or three people separate from the tribunal to whom? In other words, that the MECs will in fact create an appeal tribunal, and in addition to the tribunal.
No, it's not an appeal tribunal, because that adjudication process is not
it's a process where the MEC will appoint those two with expertise that will look, maybe you can call it this administration thing, but if you can work around that, because it's not the MEC herself that is going to do to perform that, but people with legal expertise, and I think even the, you can look at the other expertise, because it could not be only the legal expertise only, because we are in the transformation, we are busy transforming the nation. So we can look at the other skill that can be used. So if you can look at that, members, I've seen your hands. Honorable Mkhala.
Chair, we will not budge into the issue of the MEC being the referee and the player. I think we've now dealt with that one. We're taking the MEC out of this whole process. So it's not a question of the MEC because of the person per se. It's a question of statutes. You cannot have an MEC that they appeal, being him representing the state and owning the rental property, and now you're taking to appeal to him. It's like you, you know, when you're owning your backyard and someone says, no, I'm bringing an appeal to you. I mean, it's not going to fly. So let's forget, the MEC must not be the referee and the player, and we were doing well on that one. You're taking us back there, and we don't want to go there. Secondly is the issue of saying we cannot create that national thing, because of the purpose of this is to decentralize the service,
yes,
to make it easy for each and every province to have that structure. Because of when you create that overarching structure, it's going to mean its headquarters will be somewhere in Joburg or somewhere in the Western Cape. And then what about the people in the Eastern Cape, in rural Limpopo? Where will they access this? So the issue here is about accessibility, making justice accessible and quick and efficient and easy. And now I'm thinking of the Gauteng rental proposal of having that tribunal chairperson, and then the appeal goes to him, and there's three who can deal with that appeal process. So it's, we're calling it administrative appeal process. So let's not go through that big, you know, national thing, and again, let's not involve the MEC in the process. Let's make it as independent and as transparent and local as possible to make it easy and accessible. Because one thing that you don't want is that you're going to have a national thing where the national chairperson will be inaccessible to deal with these issues. And Gauteng has just brought the issue of the backlog. The one thing you don't want is a backlog. In rental stock, you can't have a backlog. Because if you're talking about people's life here, you're going to have someone who must, you know, who will be evicted literally, or who might not be having a home during that day, and you are waiting for some chairperson to come to that hearing. So let's, my point is, let's make it accessible and decentralized as possible. That is the premise.
Yes, I think I'm sort of quite going along with that, except that I think from what I hear Mr. Bailey saying, there's a very small percentage, if that is going to be, you know, pertain to the rest of the country. But, you know, we've only got that to work on at the moment. That's an experience. But there's a very small percentage that actually does require to go to on appeal. Now, maybe what we need, you know, I also, we're not going back to the MEC thing, but we need a simple something that somebody can, if they're not catered for within the tribunal hearing, that they can then approach somebody else as a last resort, but a simple arrangement, not a complicated thing, because by and large you're going to have perhaps a lot of people who are not too au fait with legal things and all of that, but you know, they need to know that if they don't get their problem sorted out here, ultimately there's another body that they can go to. Now, how we set up that simple arrangement is for the legal team to work out. And also, I agree, it mustn't be centralized. It does need to be for where people have got access to it.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want maybe Charmaine to point out the difference between your proposal and that of the proposal that Member Mukhalapa from Gauteng has, that we can maybe just have, I just want that information. Just compare yours and his.
Thank you, Chair. I think the only difference is that mine was interim, because I was working towards the proposal that we had from the department that there would be a national body. Now, the proposal that the chairperson deals with the appeal still stands. It can be on a permanent basis that the chairperson will deal with the appeal. We could also, and if I hear what you guys are saying, perhaps say that, because remember the initial proposal was, because we're dealing with two bodies, and we actually upped the number of alternates to make sure that it's someone who hasn't heard the matter before, where we actually said that the chairperson will simply appoint three other members to hear the matter. And I was saying, I don't see anything wrong in law with that, because you are not, it is not a judicial appeal that we're talking about. And that's actually why I brought the term administrative in now, so that, to make it clear, because I was thinking maybe that is some of the criticism, because people are comparing it with a court appeal. It's not the same as a court appeal. It's very administrative in nature. And if we have examples where your chairperson actually appoints three other members that have not heard the matter before, I almost think that we're going back to the initial proposal, which was simply, we have now a body that where not all the members will be hearing the matter. And they are members, part of the tribunal, but they weren't part of the hearing. So that it's actually referred to them, and then you can have your alternates come in. So that in the event that whatever happens, someone is not available, you still have three people. You can even make it four people.
That is why, Chair, I was saying, let's keep it at seven. And then you can alternate those members and create this administrative appeal structure, rather than saying one or two. Exactly.
No, one man, so we can't depend on that one. So can you read through this this administration appeal? Administrative appeal.
Chairperson, can I just confirm how it will be is we will have it as it was originally, two committees, but an appeal will be referred, the chairperson will be able to chair. He will be part of one of the committees somehow. But an appeal will be referred to the chairperson, who will then appoint three or four other members. Because remember, we've got alternate members to do the appeal. Shall we do it at four? Then it is actually one more? Three. It seems there's a difference on three or four, but we can draft it. I don't have the exact wording now, but it will. If we go to 17A on the additional document that I've handed out, we will probably amend clause section 1 in clause 18 to say any person who feels aggrieved by the decision of the tribunal may lodge an appeal with the chairperson of the relevant tribunal against that decision in the prescribed manner. Then the second section will say the chairperson will refer the tribunal to three members of the relevant tribunal who was not part of the original hearing. It's not 100% wording, but it will be something in that matter. Then we can still, if we feel that the chairperson must perhaps be part of that body, then we can. But then again, you have the two. Okay. So we'll have that he refers it to three members of the tribunal, and then the remainder will be the same.
Now we're sticking now to seven. There's no four or seven members. It's not four or seven as is currently presented. It's just gonna be seven members of the tribunal.
We have got seven members with the chairperson. We are saying they can divide themselves
into two, and I've seen that no committees, there's something sitting, okay, yeah, sitting, you can take that one. If the case is at the northern part, there's a case there, there might not be a case anywhere else, or there might be a case on the southern hemisphere of Cape Town. But those three members were not part of that hearing. But the problem is, when that hearing is discussed, that report, it has got to come to a full complement tribunal, and the decision has to be taken here. Is it not a challenge? It is. You can't say they were not part. Who takes the decision?
To separate Shepherdson, there will be a contradiction now if it goes back to the tribunal, the full body.
No, it can't be a decision of an individual, of an individual committee. It can't be. No, it can't be. We are a committee here. We can divide us into subcommittee, and then three members can work out a certain subject, or we work one subject differently, and then we come back and report here, and then the decision will be a committee decision. So it's not going to work.
Chairperson, that was why we mentioned that the tribunal may sit as two committees. Not two sittings, they sit as two committees. So the decision of a committee, whether chaired by the deputy chairperson or chaired by a chairperson, will be the decision of that committee. That will be reported as part of the tribunal's report. So it will be as you will have the Court of the Western Cape, the High Court of the Western Cape, each of the judges will sit by themselves, but when they report as the court. So, and then just on something else that Bongi said, remember that one of the proposals was that we must give the provinces the option of having either four members or seven members, and we've amended it like that so that they have an option. I don't see that as being a problem, because you still have alternate members, and there's nothing that prohibits the chairperson from referring it to alternate members to consider the appeal, as long as they weren't part of the original hearing. And if it comes down to it, we can actually make a provision to say that the decision of each committee will be the decision of that committee, so that it doesn't become the decision of the tribunal. We can add that.
I just want to say, I think that sounds okay, but then something has changed, and maybe that happened when we created those two committees, because originally we were told that although you can split into the two meetings, it had to come back under the one chairperson of the tribunal. So I just want to be clear that, in fact, we've created, because I didn't understand when we were appointing deputy chairs, you know, as part of this, that we wouldn't come back as a tribunal to then pass the thing. I don't know. Maybe we're making things very difficult for ourselves. We're getting a bit complicated.
You are 100% correct. The committee has got one chairperson. The decision that comes from a committee, those decisions are from a collective of that tribunal. So, I think you have to work on that one. We agree on the principle of the administrative, but what we don't agree with, there can't be two committees in a committee. The purpose of those two committees is to fast track.
I think the issue at hand is those two committees,
yes,
are for, they might be even dealing, yes, with two separate cases. Okay? So it's not a question of you've got two committees that are dealing with the same issue. It might be two committees dealing with two cases just to fast track the backlog. But after they've taken the decision will be a committee, a tribunal decision. Exactly. So it doesn't mean that decision has to come into one body, because of then you are doing the same thing all over again. So the committees have got two issues. The one issue is Mam Khulumalo, the other one is Mam Govind. And then when the decisions are taken, it's just one decision from the tribunal, just to make it authentic. So it's not a question of they are doing two same things. Okay. I might be on that one.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My suggestion on this is that maybe the legislation should empower the Secretariat to appoint adjudicators in cases where there are appeals. Administratively, as a Secretariat, we can have a list, a panel of adjudicators who are always there. They will, on a rotational basis, appoint members when there is a need, when need arises.
Yes, this is exactly, this is the simple arrangement that I was trying to get at, to say if they need, and especially if there are going to be such a small number of appeals, then you only want them when you need them. And that's the only mechanism that we need to put in place. Yeah.
And Chairperson, on the issue of two committees, yes, it's clear because they're going to deal with the separate cases, but the decision is going to be one decision of the tribunal. But then regarding the appeals, it's going to be problematic if you bring that back, because they're going to sit, there will be three members who are not part of the decision making, and then those members will hear appeals. But then there will be a challenge if you bring it back to the main body, because there will be a conflict, because you meet again against those members who made the decision initially. So I accept, I think it is workable, we can work on that. Did you get, go and work on it? Work on it. Because really, we can't have So I think, can you work around that one? And then you can come up with a nice word and so on and so forth. I think we are true with this. Mam Govind, one final thought. By the last one. Because who born my head? This is Domekaru. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members and our legal department. We say Abulela Kakulu, the Department of Human Settlements. Can you start us, Marlene? Please. Mr. Bailey and your lady, thank you very much. You have observed that this matter is not an easy issue, but we are trying our best. We are robust on this issue. We are a dedicated committee. We don't want to leave any stone unturned. Thank you very much. The meeting has been adjourned.